Welcome to the Leapcast, where we dive deep into divisive topics, challenge biases, and confront political noise from an independent point of view. I'm Andrew Leap, and together with my legal team, we have one goal: to transform political vitriol into productive conversations. Each week, we talk about real issues by translating hateful rhetoric into meaningful discourse. Then we offer ideas to solve the issues and improve all of our lives. Let's rise above the negativity and make some real change. Ready to join the discussion? Get started now on the Leapcast.
Meet your personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Leap.
Claudia's been a little depressed, so I want everyone to feel better.
Call her out.
No, out.
Her man, Mitt Romney, is getting destroyed from the Republican Party left and right. Daddy Mitt went wild, and he's called out everyone. He told us Chris Christie's a tunnel and bridges type of fella.
Oh boy.
That's what he called him, which I was impressed that a Massachusetts man and then a Mormon, like living in the middle of nowhere, knows what a bridge and tunnel crowd is.
Yeah.
Like, he called him tunnel and bridges, I think. I don't think he said bridge and tunnels, but
he came close enough.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
And so proud.
He's going after everyone. Like,
so proud.
He's
going down.
I knew I loved him for a reason.
See, Claudia Stick up, but you saw her head down yesterday because everyone was making all these like things about the Romney, and they were coming after him. And Lauren, Romney's on the wall. He made it. So
he did Daddy. Make it.
Yes.
The thing about Daddy. It though is I agree with what he said, and it's kind of why we went into this vitriol thing in the first place, because I'm not a Romney guy necessarily. Like, Claudia's in love with him in that way. Like, I don't know that I agree with all his policies, and I'm aligned 100% on voting. Mm. But I believe that people that are serving in our Congress and or our executive branch, mm-hmm. and or just people that are, as you would call it, not you, Alex, but or what? You wouldn't. So when people call it the administrative state, like in a condescending uniparty type of way that they like to go at,
yeah.
I think these people should be dignified.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what I like about Romney.
Hot take.
Yeah. Like, hot take. Like, I feel like that should be a criteria. Like, look at me. I'm not wearing a suit. Like, I do not qualify to
you
go.
You are not dignified.
Yeah, I don't look dignified today.
You don't have to be.
You could wear your costume. You
I could.
On TV.
Imagine if Andrew wore a full suit every time we recorded
then we would
a podcast.
Have to.
Yeah.
I would have like a hanky here, wipe.
A monocle.
Pass around. Yeah, a monocle. A little pipe. But
you need your cufflinks.
I truly believe that dignity is missing in all things. Mm-hmm. And then I get smacked in the face on it, because we could go do a podcast today and we could talk about things like this guy, Rob Schmidt. This is his vitriol. A weaponized DOJ broke Jenna Ellis. Authoritarian regimes have always done this. Threaten your freedom and you'll sing any song they want to hear. There's all this talking point, people,
about vitriol.
But the talking point is that Jenna Ellis, she's one of the four Trump attorneys that flipped, mm-hmm. that they only flipped because people flip when DOJ puts too much pressure on them and it means nothing, and that anyone would flip. So I've been writing back to people on social media. Next time you're interviewing someone to work for you, if they have a criminal record and they pled to that, you should take no credence to it whatsoever. There's no criminal record.
Right.
They're not criminals.
Criminal records mean nothing.
It was just a witch hunt.
Well, no, Lauren, as long as they plea, it's because they couldn't afford the trial or the defense. That's what people are saying about Trump's attorneys.
Right.
So it's meaningless. It doesn't mean if you plea. Mm-hmm. So I want everyone to know, next time you talk to someone, if you want to like condescend to them because they're a criminal, if they pled out, that does not make them guilty. That's the new standard. Yeah. That's what Rob Schmidt's telling us.
For balance, I mean, maybe it doesn't always mean that.
Well, they threaten their freedom. That's what he said. Threaten your freedom and you'll sing any song they want to hear. So if I charge you, I'm threatening your freedom.
Yeah.
And then you're going to lie. And by the way, Claudia, you know the judge has to accept a plea deal.
Yes.
And the judge could reject the plea deal if they don't believe you or the charges or... Mm-hmm. So it's not just Rob Schmidt, you're missing it. It's not, and you'll sing any song they want to hear, and the judge will jam along with you. You have to write that.
The judge is in on it.
The
I'd
judge
like
is jamming.
Know what Rob thinks about bail reform.
Yeah, we're not going.
Rabbit hole.
But there's a reason I started the way I did with Romney and Dignified, and we're going to get there. And I want you to remember that, because these are the old guard, the Trumpers, the Trumpanzees.
The Trumpets.
Ooh, the
Trumpets.
Trumpanzees.
Oh, boy.
Well, here's a new one. Ready? Here's a Fox News one. Tim Scott blasts left's radical weaponization of race in inner cities and desire for fatherless America. I don't think there's anyone ever who said, I wish America was fatherless.
Like, the more I think about it, the worse that is.
Yeah. It just,
what
it's
a horrible
what
thing
a horrible,
say.
Horrible.
That's vitriol. Right. That's the definition of vitriol.
We desire you to be fatherless. Like, are they imagining that we take the sperm and we don't know who the fathers are, or we just shoot all the dads? Like, what are we doing to get them fatherless?
It's
like
awful.
And this guy's running for president, Tim Scott. Okay. I'd like to know, and he's the old guard. This is the old right. guard of vitriol. This is we have people like Trump. He's the king of it all. He on this Truth Social with the millions of people that crooked Joe Biden has allowed into the United States through his ridiculous open border policy. Mostly young men and large number of terrorists. The U.S. is more vulnerable from inside terror attack than any time in its history, by far. MAGA.
Yeah, he posted that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Just to be clear, most people coming over the border are fleeing death. Like, that's a thing. Yeah. Like, when you're spending the kind of money you do to escape Honduras.
Right.
And you're trying to trek hundreds of miles. Mm-hmm. Now, don't misunderstand. Andrew Leib is not pro open border.
You want to be clear?
I can only speak for me. I want to be clear. I'm not telling you, but I'm also going to tell you that labeling people coming over the border as terrorists is insane. It's like saying the Chinese do this, the Soviets do this.
It's xenophobic.
Yeah.
Is that the word?
Well, you're generalizing.
Yeah.
That is xenophobia. You're saying foreign people are all a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, there's very smart people, there's very dumb people. There's really,
it's like everything.
Yeah, anti-crime,
like the world.
High crime. Anyway, so here's the best one, and this is my end of the Trump. Ready? He had to pay $10,000 for this one.
Boo-hoo.
He took a break at court, and he goes, "This judge is a very partisan judge, with a person who is very partisan sitting right beside him, perhaps even more partisan than he is." And the judge puts his tushy on the witness stand, and the judge asks him, "Who are you talking about?"
Clark.
He says, "Michael Cohen."
Oh.
And the judge says, "I'm going to interpret." And this goes to our story today. There's two stories today. One story is Romney. What does he have? What does he have? Claudia, what's good about Romney? Besides
everything.
But he has elegance. He has dignity. So we're going with two words here. Dignity is one of them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second word that goes with what we're talking about goes to this last one, because the judge said, "I don't find Trump credible." That's what he said, which is an interpretation, because lawyers speak one language and humans speak another. I'm going to interpret that to non-judge, non-lawyer. It means Trump's a liar. So what?
Shocker.
No, but these are the two words and they go together, and you're hearing my phone go off, and I'm going to tell you why that's important, because we're going to play you something right now. And I'm going to play it in a second on my phone. And the two words are dignity and interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wrong. Leibcast is wrong. I've been calling for dignity. And I think I've created the devil. And so I'm very, very, very concerned. I'm very upset. I'm very upset today. And I was upset originally because I was saying Ron DeShithead was going to be this devil.
Yeah.
Because Ron is a very high-functioning Trump. And I was getting upset that we were going to have someone, but he wasn't dignified. He wasn't Romney.
Yeah.
He had lifts in his shoes.
Yeah.
He doesn't give off.
He did ugly things, like undignified things that I feel like were just take him out.
We now have a problem in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And dignity is going to be a problem because we're now in the next era of MAGA.
Mm-mm.
And I'm like, Claudia loves Romney, and was a Republican nominee for president.
Yep.
Like, this isn't a Democrat Republican thing.
Nope.
But the problem I'm saying now in these words, dignity and interpretation.
Mm.
And I thought that the problem, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe this is a good error, but I'm concerned. I'm very concerned because I thought, see, Trump doesn't do interpretation well, meaning he doesn't play with words well. He just says it as is. He's crass.
And he says the same thing over and over again. Like, he has some talking points.
And he has no dignity.
Crooked Joe Biden. Crooked Joe Biden.
Yeah. You know how he's going to speak. He has a speech way. Mm-hmm. And so we first had running for the House Speaker. We had first had McCarthy. He was a House Speaker. And then you got this fellow from Florida who looks exactly like you'd expect a Florida man to look like that's in Congress. Matt Gaetz, the Florida man.
Speaking of generalization.
No, but his hair back. Well, he calls himself the Florida man.
Like a young Florida man.
But I have to tell you, he said he's a Florida man in a speech. He was talking about how Florida man can handle stuff.
I agree with you.
You know, his dad was a congressman in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Florida man. So Florida man.
Through and through.
He represents the state of Florida, like the gentleman from Florida. That's what they would say. Like, mm-hmm. when you were hearing the roll call yesterday before Mike Johnson won, you heard, like, for example, Smith of New York. It's not New York, but Smith of New York, right. Smith of Ohio. Like,
right. You're of Florida.
Yeah, that's what he is. Like, it is what
Gates
it is.
Gates of Florida.
So first we had that. Then we had... Who was next? We had him. Who lost next? Scalise. Mm-hmm. Scalise couldn't become the speaker. Then who do we got? Come on. You don't know.
You're looking at me. I've been in a textbook.
Jim
for
Jordan. GYM. Jordan.
GYM. Oh, yes, right. yes. We talked about him last week.
And we had Emmer. He lasted for like three halves of a shade.
Wow, we're going through it.
And so we're on the fourth guy. Mike Johnson unites the party. And he has... Mike's making my sound go out because
you're about to say something very dramatic.
Well, no, it's just the electricity because
he had divine intervention.
I thought
you should hear it from him. So
he has dignity. He has dignity. I want you to know this guy wears a nice suit. He's a constitutional lawyer. He's got a good demeanor. He looks right. He looks the part. If I put Mike Johnson in a picture and you knew nothing about him or nothing about our government and you said he's the speaker, you go, I could get that.
He looks dignified. Is that what we're...
I'm trying to...
He looks the part.
You're Googling him, Claudia.
I don't know what he looks like.
Here, Claudia, I'm going to show you. This is your definition of
dignified different?
You see him on the left?
Claudia, could you describe what you see?
Face.
Oh, I'm going to say he's new Daddy Johnson.
Claudia,
He's got glasses.
Here, look.
You know, well, you know,
but he looks
nerd.
Like he's...
Yeah, he just looks like a dork.
Yeah.
Okay, but he's...
nerd. But he looks smart. He's wearing a suit. He looks well put together. He looks like a politician.
He combed his hair.
Traditional.
Yeah, it looks traditional. So he looks dignified. Mm-hmm. But the second word is interpretation. And so this guy, first of all, he does prayer after he wins. I don't know if you saw his speech.
No.
You didn't see a speech after it became... It sounded like a sermon from a minister as opposed to the speaker. He said he's been ordained by God for his position.
And he believes it.
No, he said that. His wife couldn't make him because she was too tired because she's been on... This is his quote. On her knees for the last few weeks praying.
Oh boy.
I thought she was doing something else on her knees.
Pause.
So this is him and he's won the new type of vitriol. It's dignity with interpretation. I want you guys to hear the new vitriol. This is from 2016 from our new Speaker of the House. I've went a long way to introduce this. I'm gonna be quiet after this. I want you to hear it. Alex, you could go first after this, but here you go.
Okay.
Well, what's happened, Alex, over the last 60, 70 years is that our generation has been convinced that there's a separation of church and state. Right? You heard that term all the time. And most people think that that's part of the Constitution, but it's not. Remember, I'm a constitutional lawyer.
Alex, this guy in 2016 says most people believe there was a separation of church and state. There is not. I know this because I'm a constitutional lawyer, and he's, just so we're clear, president, vice president, speaker of the House, does not read, apparently, the law. So, Alex, you're going to start off on this one because I need therapy.
I'm almost speechless. Okay, constitutional lawyer, right? Also third in line to be president.
Mm-hmm. Gross.
He looks like a lawyer.
There's a little something called the Bill of Rights that we learn about in law school, right? The B-O-R.
And there's, ooh, you're down with the B-O-R.
And the First Amendment is in there. And the First Amendment has the Establishment Clause in it, which basically does say, contrary to what he said, that you can't, religion and state are separate, right?
Like word by word.
Like pretty much verbatim.
Here's the words. Congress shall make, I'm going to do it slower.
Yeah.
Oh, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Now, he can argue, just as many, many cases, up till even last year, we had a major case before the Supreme Court called Kennedy about that teacher,
the football coach
who went back for one game. He's a liar. He said he wanted to be a coach, and he went back just to prove his point to Neil, and then he quit. But he wanted to pray at the center yard line.
I remember.
You could. I am fine with interpretation. We're going to call him Slick Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm fine with him saying, I don't believe that the separation of church and state is as defined as has been interpreted to date.
Right.
Under the Establishment Clause. I have a different interpretation of the Establishment Clause.
Right.
I think that it's okay that we can have more, like, for example, you can, an idea, just so we can go on it. State funding supplementing teaching salaries at religious schools is a no-no. Overtly having religious holiday decorations on public land is a no-no. But permitting religious invocation to open legislation, sorry, sessions is a good one.
This is giving you acid reflux.
I'm getting all upset.
Giving me acid reflux.
Public funds to be used for private religious schools as busing is okay. My point. You might have just heard words. There's issues that are okay and not okay under the Establishment Clause. Mm-hmm. I am totally fine with Mike Johnson or any Republican or Democrat or MAGA or squad or whatever you are, I'm okay with you making an argument of where the pendulum should be on the interpretation of the Establishment Clause.
Yeah, but that's not what he said.
That's not what he said.
He said it's not in there.
But like what even makes it worse is that our founding fathers were fleeing from religious persecution and trying to establish a place where everyone can go to practice their own religion. Like it's like he didn't even read the transcripts of what happened when the Constitution was being written, which we had to do in law school.
Yeah.
In 1802, Thomas Jefferson said that when the American people adopted the Establishment Clause, they built a wall of separation between the church and state.
Yep.
Yeah. That's Thomas Jefferson. We can go further to Roger Williams, the founder of Rhode Island, the founder of Rhode Island, meaning there was no Rhode Island.
Right.
And he said, if there was a wall or hedge of separation between the wilderness of the world and the garden of the church, that was his statement. That was the first statement.
Right.
The founder of interpreting the Establishment Clause to be separation of church and state happened from Roger Williams, who founded Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Now, to go just to modern day, we have our judge. We have a judge. You ever hear of Gorsuch? Gorsuch wrote the Kennedy opinion, which is the most important recent decision on the Establishment Clause. Mm-hmm. Now, Gorsuch and I completely disagree on how Kennedy's interpretation should have been done. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Gorsuch, the number one reason is I think Kennedy is a liar and shouldn't have had standing because the fact of the matter is he didn't want to work there anyway, which is proven by the fact after he was done, he got the hell out of there.
Yeah, just
different story. And I don't like this whole standing meaning the openings to the court, but we don't need to go there. For years, we had this thing called the Lemon Test.
Ah.
And the Lemon Test was how the Establishment Clause was applied to facts. Meaning, again, I don't want to go yet to Johnson. And I don't know if you know, Claudia, he believes that women shouldn't be allowed to have abortions throughout the United States, which you can go for or against. I'm not going to that policy. Mm-hmm. But here's why. Oh, God. If there were less abortions, we'd have more able-bodied workers that would help the economy.
Oh my God.
That's what he stated. I'm not saying about the abortion. I'm saying
close the borders.
Well, let's just assume he's right about that.
Lauren.
Let's just assume he's right about that. Economists would disagree with him because then you lose the women from the workforce in the interim, and it's just a bad policy on economics.
Yeah, and when you force women who maybe potentially can't afford to have children, you're not going to get a productive workforce. You're going to get a poor class of people.
It's
and
a
the
problem.
Work the food stamp issue is going to become a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Living off the government. And
yeah, and that's to say nothing of the fact of women's rights.
He's against same-sex marriage and believes that sodomy should be criminalized.
Oh, God.
I just
so wait,
put
this
that
is
out
our Speaker of the House.
He put out, after we saw Roe v. Wade being overturned, about people going to hard labor in Texas if they got abortions. But let's not go there. We're not there. We're back to Gorsuch.
This is so depressing.
Gorsuch and I disagree on what should have happened in that case for a variety of reasons, and mainly because I think, as we just learned from the judge in the Trump case, where he called him a liar. And I told you that was an interpretation from what the judge actually said, is that he didn't find him credible. Because I know how to interpret and say things in two different ways too. The judge in the Trump case, who said that he's not credible, I think that it's not credible that Kennedy's arguments of what he was trying to do in the first place, and I don't think that they should, the record did not agree with but Gorsuch.
That's fair interpretation.
Yeah. But let's go with Gorsuch. I'm fine with Gorsuch. I'm not against the Kennedy decision from Gorsuch. I'm fine. I want you to know I don't have a problem. I really don't with legislators praying in the middle of Congress. I don't. I don't have a problem with Kennedy praying. Where the pendulum lies of what the Establishment Clause allows and doesn't allow is something that should always be in flux. And that's the nature of having a Supreme Court and our system of justice, that in different generations, different laws will be more strictly interpreted and more liberally interpreted.
Yeah.
And sometimes you win and sometimes you lose.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of ambiguous terms versus strict terms in the Constitution.
Yeah.
Like maybe if I was king, I'd write the Constitution differently, but I'm down with the fact that it says things that can be interpreted.
Yeah.
And it says things that are exacting.
Right.
For example, we could be arguing today that this concept of restrictions on the Second Amendment are complete bonkers when you have a guy that just killed all sorts of people in Maine who had mental health issues, and it might not be the gun that shot anyone, but why are you giving someone with mental health issues a gun?
Right. Yeah. Reasonable minds can differ on that. Right? There's something to interpret there.
We can fight
about
it. But
there is something to interpret. That's like the point, right?
Yeah.
Like there's something that we are interpreting.
But he's now has dignity. I thought dignity. My problem with Trump, and I've said this all along, is his lack of dignity caused the worst of our society to be emboldened to do crazy ass shit.
Yeah.
Like that's my forget policy. I don't need to get there. Forget whether I think he's a good businessman or a bad businessman. Mm-hmm. I read The Art of the Deal. I'm in real estate. I like what he does in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But when you embolden crazy ass people, I hate you.
Yeah.
And so I had this vision.
Yeah.
That a dignified, more Romney-esque speaker.
More dangerous. Is that where you're going?
Well, I didn't think that he could use that to be slick in his interpretations.
Right.
This idiot is shifting the issue, like Iraq, not the country. What does it mean, Alex?
It means issue, rule, application, conclusion.
Heck yeah.
So what this guy just did is he changed the issue.
Yeah.
He's not even fighting over the rule of the application about the Establishment Clause anymore.
He's fighting about whether or not there even is an Establishment Clause.
He delegitimized any argument against him by saying he's a constitutional lawyer. He gave himself emboldened power by that was the point of that statement.
Right.
I know,
I'm a constitutional lawyer.
I'm the authority.
Right.
And I'm telling you that this is not possible, which is such hogwash because, again, Gorsuch. How much more Republican conservative can you get than Gorsuch?
I don't know.
He's pretty there.
He's pretty there.
Like, let's assume this is a Kinsey scale of gayness, right?
Okay.
And a Kinsey scale of gayness.
Kinsey scale of Republicanness.
Below Clarence Thomas, but above Roberts.
Like, he's somewhere, Roberts is more moderate at this point. But
right.
But the point being, and I only bring this up because someone who is so anti-gay and wants to have... we should look into this, Johnson. But back to where we are. What we learned is the Lemon Test... Johnson, I'm teaching you how to be a constitutional lawyer.
Johnson,
you should pay attention.
Listen closely.
Yeah. This is for you. I'm just going to tell you in this case,
Kennedy versus Bremerton School District.
That was amazing. I can't say Bremerton.
Thank you. You made me read it.
You knew I was going to do that. I just can't. I probably read it 100 times, but I can't say it. But what he did is he said, we're going to really limit the Lemon Test. It's kind of gone. It's not really what we're going to do anymore. You don't need to know the Lemon Test. We're not teaching to be constitutional scholars. Here's what you need to know. We're going to replace it with the original meaning and history. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. History and meaning. I'm just telling Johnson. Maybe he should stop. Come on, Johnson. All right, here we go. What's the history and meaning, the original meaning of Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion? And Claudia starts off, and what'd you say about us coming from England?
Yeah, we were fleeing religious persecution. We wanted to be able to practice our own religion and not be told that we had to follow what England was following.
I got a good one, too.
Go for it.
James Madison.
Ooh.
Drafter.
We love James Madison.
Or, you know, one of the drafters of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, founding father. He said about the Establishment Clause that religion is the religion and the government.
Now it's over the last.
I couldn't stop.
He's
I want to listen to it
he
again.
He says my name in it.
Well, no, I was, you know, I got to play it again.
Set it up.
Is that our generation has been convinced that there's a separation of church and state. Right?
Our generation, James Madison is like the founding father generation.
But just to be clear, who cares? Listen to Gorsuch.
Yeah.
Who cares what his generation's convinced?
Right.
Go with the founding father's generation. That's what Gorsuch said. Yeah. Gorsuch said it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what the founding fathers.
Yeah, we can make an originalism. We do it from an originalism angle.
That's
he
Gorsuch.
He said religion and the government will both exist in greater purity the less they are mixed together.
Yeah. Well, that was incredible. I just want you to know, I read notes. Alex, she sees it in front of her. Do it one more time for us. I want to hear it.
Religion and the government will both exist in greater purity the less they are mixed together. James Madison.
And just to go back to it, we're going back to our man Gorsuch, conservative Gorsuch, original meaning in history. And we're going to loop back for you, Mr. Johnson. We got to loop back for you that Roger Williams, who founded Rhode Island, can you get much more original than that?
No.
He founded Rhode Island, a wall or hedge of separation between the wilderness of the world and the garden of the church. So let's be clear. There's three things I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to talk about is that it's fine to have a religion.
Yes.
I'm okay with you praying. I'm not against religion. I'm for religion. Religion does a lot of good things for society. Albeit, I just did see a great, great scholar make this point. I'm just going to paraphrase him. He said, it's amazing how we all ascribe so much to God. He's so powerful. But he only knew how to write books. Why didn't he know how to code? Because the Bible isn't a book. And I thought that was a good question. I would think
that's
God.
An interesting one.
There shouldn't have been 10 commandments on stone. It should have been on an app. Yeah. But that's a different story.
Some people would say that God inspired the person who wrote the code.
That's true for all the rest of the Bible. God actually wrote the 10 commandments. He wrote them on the stone.
Right. Yeah.
That was the one that he wrote. And the question
was just what he had access to that day.
The question is, why did he only have access to that if he's God?
He chose it.
I just feel like we know
he's
too
cool.
much about one religion. Like, I was not raised with a specific religion. So, like, hearing about this, it's like, this is all new for me. And I feel like there's too many people out there who know way too much about a religion that they don't believe in or belong to because it's so involved in our everyday lives.
Yeah, he's obviously, like, kind of leaning on Christianity, right, this man. But, like, going back to the James Madison quote, it's like the reason why we keep state and religion separate is so that people can practice their religion in a more like personal, robust way so that it remains pure and untainted by government.
And to point out, you had to reject Zeus to first believe in God. And the fact, I'm just putting that out there that it's like by believing in Jesus, mm-hmm. which is good. I'm fine with, like that.
I feel like the listener should be clear about that, yeah. right? Like we're not saying that we don't like religion or
we love religion.
Or yeah, we're not anti-religion at all. We're actually very pro-religion.
But the point is, if you think Jesus is the only God, religion, in Christianity,
we have a problem with that.
You are therefore telling people that believe in Zeus.
Yeah, or
that you're wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I was just using Zeus
right,
as an illustration.
Yeah. I like Zeus as the example.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. We were like, what?
So there's three things.
What is it? What is religion?
One thing is that religion's cool. We have no problem with religion. And in fact, I don't have any problem with religion influencing people's ethics and morals. That said, I do have a problem with religion influencing the interpretation of the Constitution, because Gorsuch, in his quote, said, I'm just going to read Gorsuch again. I didn't write it. Gorsuch wrote it. Original meaning in history. And what he's talking about is the original meaning from when it was written.
Right. Yeah.
He's not saying interpretation in relation to your religious dogma. Mm-hmm. He's not saying read it in concert with the Bible.
He's going all the way back to the beginning.
Well, the beginning of when it was written. So it's possible, and maybe Gorsuch is going to write this in the next opinion, mm-hmm. but we should interpret it in concert with the Christian Bible. I'd be okay with that if the Supreme Court wrote that. Maybe I wouldn't.
But I was just going to say, wait a minute.
They didn't write that. So the first thing is that we have to separate the interpretation, so that's one thing. Mm-hmm. The second thing I want to say is using a false statement of legitimacy to people that don't know better is therefore manipulating those people to parrot to what you're saying, which goes into the third thing. Maybe it's more dangerous if someone's dignified and they're slick in interpretations to control everyone. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, what I didn't like about Trump is he was undignified, but he empowered the worst of society. Mm-hmm. At least they had independent thought. Now, Johnson, what he's doing is he's going to manipulate the worst of society to have his thought. Maybe you want your own thought. This is the Leibcast.
Find us on social media at Listen to Leib or visit listentolieb.com.